This is part two of the interview with Spring Benzin. Let's talk about your team for a minute. How many assistants do you have?
I just have one.
What does your assistant do?
She does everything. She handles the transaction. So the listing, she'll handle the paperwork and making sure that it gets out through DocuSign and that everything comes back. She'll order the virtual tour. She makes sure the sign goes in the ground. Everything that's applicable to that. And then when a transaction comes in, she handles all the paperwork, all the inspections, all of that. And then she does my day-to-day. Randomly, I just email her things that need to happen, whether it's a buyer that needs to have an inventory taken because they've purchased a home furnished or somebody has a question about something. I mean, she basically handles everything so I can be out generating new business.
A lot of your properties are being sold furnished?
Correct.
How does that work? Is that ever become a problem with the financing? Because it's personal property that could leave the property. How does that play in?
It depends on how the contract is written. And it depends on the lender. Generally, we'll write in the contract that the home is being sold as is with all furnishings, artwork, bedding, etc. And will be transferred on a separate bill of sale for $1. If they have quite a bit of cash down and they want to put a value on the furnishings, then we'll put a value on the furnishings. It really just depends on the transaction.
So that's never slowed you down, whether it was furnished or unfurnished?
There are some obstacles sometimes, but we always figure out how to make it work.
What was the biggest stumbling block you've had with furnishings and how did you handle it?
Well, the biggest stumbling block, we have a couple of people negotiating over the craziest things that really don't mean anything, you know, like, oh, a seller that forgot that he needed to give this armoire to his mother from China or something, you know, and you're like, well, you didn't take it out of the transaction and now you want to take it out and we're going to close in a week, you know, so we do have a few of those scenarios. But then for the financing is probably the biggest term. So I make sure I consult the lender prior and ask which investor they're going to use to and how the contract needs to be written so that we're 100% legal on every aspect, but to make sure that they're also covered, that the buyer is getting what's in the property and at that time that they saw the property. So
back to your assistant for a minute. She's doing all these tasks for you in the back end to make sure you're staying out in front of the people. How do you pay your assistant?
I pay her on a salary. She makes $36,000 a year.
And is that full-time work? Is she there 40 hours a week?
Yeah, she works, if she needs to take a vacation, she takes a vacation. If she needs to work later one night, then she works later one night. But generally speaking, yes.
So it's pretty flexible.
Right.
So you're seeing her every day, so you're probably having a quick meeting or you're interacting with one another each day, so you don't have a need for a once-a-week meeting or anything like that.
Right. We interact every day.
How did you find her?
This particular one, she worked for Wolf Creek, was the developer. She worked for their water company. I just knew her from a previous work life, I guess.
And it all worked out?
So far, so good.
How long has she been with you?
She's been with me for about a year.
Did you have assistants in the past, other assistants?
When we had the development firm and in the boom, I had a partner and we were selling 250 houses a year. We had a full-time transaction coordinator. The development firm had like a marketing person and stuff, so we didn't necessarily have to have assistants. We just had somebody who handled our listings and our transactions. So yes, I have had another one in the past, and she was a paralegal, and she was amazing.
Any other technology that you're using in your business?
Like I said, I just signed up for that viral blog, and then I just do a lot of online trying to capture them before they get here. So I have a ton of online exposure as well through whether it's Zillow or Trulia or Realtor.com or any of those. I do use DocuSign for all of my paperless transactions, and that's about it. And I do some social media. I don't do a ton. I have the social media. Most of my clients aren't really big social media people, though.
Well, you've been doing this for a while now. It sounds like you have a rather expensive office and a great location. Is your operation profitable?
Yes.
Would you mind disclosing what percentage you have in profit?
I try to have at least a third of my income would go to expenses. I'm trying to get that, but I think the average standard is a third. So that's kind of where I've set my bar at.
So you think a third goes to expenses and then two-thirds would go to you as net profit?
Right.
That's pretty good. Do you use systems to try to make things move smoother? For instance, you had mentioned that your assistant has a checklist when a listing comes in or a contract comes in. Are those manual or are they in a computer?
The hard file has the checklist on the front of it, and so that is manual just for the hard file, but she also does have everything in Top Producer as well. And she keeps whatever spreadsheet she needs to for make it simple for her. But I can pull everything in Top Producer, and know. We use Dropbox as well. And so Dropbox, we have everything on there, so all of us can access it if we need to at any time.
Do you have any other systems or checklists that you use in your business?
Nope, not that I can think of.
How many hours do you think that you're working in your business per week?
I would say at least 40.
Does that fluctuate with the seasons?
Yes, summer and winter are definitely more. And then spring and fall, I still work. I treat it like a real job. I come to the office generally 9 to 5. Sometimes, depending on, I have two little children, sometimes I'll come in a little bit later and stay later. But I try to work the full 8 hours a day. I'm not generally in the office the whole time, obviously. But I'll make sure that I'm here doing some prospecting, getting whatever I need to work-wise done. And then I'm usually out with clients or doing something real estate related.
How do you keep control of your time?
I do time blocking. I generally will try to do my prospecting and any follow-up in the morning, and then my afternoon is free for clients. I've gotten a lot better. I know that they're on vacation, so I'm really at their mercy, but I've gotten a lot better of trying to keep them still to the afternoon. I will meet with clients in the morning if that's what their schedule allows, because they're pretty much here only for a small time frame, you know. I took a class called Bold through Keller Williams, and that helped a lot of time blocking and keeping track. And so I have everything on my phone and my Google Calendar, but I also now have gone back to the old school way of having a day planner, and anything that is profitable is in green. Anything that somebody else can do is in a different color, and anything that's personal is in a different color. And that way I can really see if I'm spending too much time on something that I could delegate to somebody else, and that has helped me a
How do you keep balance in your life?
ton. Oh, that's something I'm trying to find. I think just trying to make a conscious effort. I'm definitely not I'm working on that. So that's probably my weak link right there.
Do you have a business plan?
I do, and I reevaluate it every year, and I set my goals in December for the next year, and I'm constantly looking at it to see where I'm at and what I need to do to stay on target.
How often do you think that you review it? You say constantly, is that every day or once a week?
I will, not necessarily my business plan, but maybe my goal numbers at least once a week to see where I'm at, what I'm tracking, what do I need to do. I mean, we're definitely a relationship business, but we're also a numbers. It's all about the numbers of how many people you contact to put together a transaction, et cetera, et cetera.
Are there certain numbers that you like to track?
I don't track the general Tom Ferry where you track how many phone calls and emails you've made. I know in the normal market, that's what works. But I really track how many listings I have, how many buyers I'm working with, what's under contract. I look at if I need to start farming, I don't usually pick up the phone and start asking for listings. I will send out letters or do some type of listing campaign. Or this last one, I did a newspaper ad. So I don't track the amount. I do track the amount of leads coming in. But I don't track I made 20 phone calls today or whatnot.
Do you have a certain goal for the number of contacts you want to make in a day? You mentioned earlier you try to send out, I'm trying to remember, it was 15 emails a day.
I try to at least send out 15 a day, but I don't have that type of goal. I mean, I'm more about the quality of the contact that I made. other than the number, you know? So I don't keep track of like, okay, I contacted 10 people today. I don't keep a spreadsheet of that. I'm more or less constantly looking at, okay, I have X amount of listings in inventory, I have X amount of buyers. I need this. I mean, I know I've done the math on how many listings at one time I need to carry to hit my goal of how many transactions I want to have and et cetera. So
How many listings is that?
I constantly at all times have to have 25 listings based off of an inventory of 200 days on the market.
So you're twice that. You're in good shape.
Yeah, the thing about it is our land inventory is a lot slower. So I think I'm right there for amount of land inventory that I have based on where our market's at. So yeah, I'm in good shape. I'm tracking this year.
Okay, let's talk about motivation, goals, and their mental game. Spring, what drives you?
My big why, huh? I what drives me is the excitement of making the deal. The financial aspect is nice to be able to have and afford the lifestyle that I choose to live. I have two little children, so it's just nice to be able to provide for them and have it be that I personally feel like I'm investing right now so that I can have, when I'm 50 or whatnot, have the future that I want to have and not have to be in the office every day. So I think there's a lot of my big why, but I guess it's ultimately my family, and then I also like the challenge of it. So
What do you think makes you successful?
when I was 20 years old, I was in a fire and I was burned 85% of my body. And when I was on basically life support, my roommate next to me, she passed away, and all the beeps, all the sirens are going off in the middle of the night, you know? I'm like, what is going on? And the doctors came in, and I'm like, am I dying? You know, because they keep you really drugged. And he's like, no, you decide who you want to be. Like, you decide if you live or die. And that, like, has stuck with me from day one. And I just find that true on every aspect. Like, I decide if I want to be successful. I decide if I'm going to have an incredible marriage. I decide if I'm going to have a great family. Like, everything ultimately is my decision. And if you set your mind to it and you fully work at it, then you can have anything that you want to. So I genuinely believe that on all aspects.
What should the listeners know about you?
I love real estate. If you have any referrals for Utah, send them my way. No, I have a great business. I have a great family. Life has been good. Last year, Realtor Magazine's 30 Under 30 was super fun experience. Anybody who gets the opportunity should definitely try out and put in an application. And yeah, everything is great.
Where do you see your future in real estate? Where do you see your business going in 3, 5, 10 years? Do you have a plan out that far?
That's a really good question. I mean, part of me really loves this resort second home market, and this is my niche, and it's fun and whatnot, you know? And then the other part of me wants more and wants to build this big, growing business of being a realtor outside of this market. And so I have, in the last 6 months, started. That's why you asked me if I had two offices. I have started to kind of work in the normal residential real estate market. I haven't done a ton. I maybe have like 6 or 7 closings outside of this resort second home market. And I can't decide. I can't decide if I'm going to try to go big and build a huge team or if I'm just going to stick to having a small team in this resort market. I do think that this is such a new up and coming area that there's a lot to offer and that it will be growing quite a bit in the next 3 to 5 years. So it will be interesting to see which direction I decide to go.
You've talked about your far off future when you're 50 and over. Are you doing any wealth building through investing in real estate?
Yeah, you know, I have invested quite a bit in real estate. I've purchased and sold a lot of real estate throughout the years. Currently, though, I don't have any investment properties right now. My husband has just started a new company, so we liquidated to do that, and he's doing phenomenal. But yes, definitely, I have a financial planner. I have a 401k, I have all those things that as a realtor you probably should do, but a lot of us don't, that I have set up. And my goal would be, my next thing that I'm going to start doing is just buying fixer-upper rentals that are, you can pay cash for, and just start building rental units is the direction that I'm going to go.
Will you be doing that in your current resort market?
No. I will be doing it probably in the city.
If you were to advise a brand new agent that was getting into the business, what would you tell them to do first?
You know, I would tell them to really look at trying to become a member of a team or find a mentor. I think that so many of us go to real estate school that's 90 or 120 hours, and then you get thrown out there and you don't know what in the world you're doing, you know? So I think if you can find somebody to take you under their wing, take advantage of that and learn all that you can from that. I would also tell you the biggest misconception, I think, is that it's all about selling a house. And the reality of it is really it's your job is to prospect. It's finding those buyers and sellers' leads, and to know that going into it, is that the leads aren't just going to come to you. You have to work and find ways to generate them.
If you had to relocate to a new market tomorrow, what would be the first three things that you would do to establish yourself?
You know what? I would probably swallow my pride and team up with somebody who's established there and try to work as a member of their team to grow. And hopefully they would see that they could utilize my skills and whatnot. I think that I would also, if I didn't do that, I would start by doing the general starting over. You have to door knock, making phone calls, getting out there, getting your name out there. So I probably also, depending on what type of market it would be, would, I don't know that I would do a newspaper ad. I mean, that works for us here, but I guess I would probably door knock and prospect and also try to become on somebody's team.
Spring, is there anything else that you would like to talk about that we haven't talked about?
I think that anybody can do this. It's just setting out a clear vision, putting your goals on paper, knowing what you want to do, and then putting a plan together to make it happen.
Wellspring, you set your goals and you made them happen. Your tenacious ability to stick with a prospect for a 3-year average incubation period is impressive. Your optimism, market knowledge, creative marketing, and constant prospecting have combined to make a strong career. Whether you stay in Eden or move to a larger market, I know you'll be successful either way. Thank you again for being our Rising Agent of the Month.
You've been listening to the Mastermind Agent Interview of the Month Club, where top agents, rising agents, team members, and guests from across North America reveal their success secrets, strategies, and systems in up-close and personal interviews. You can find all the club interviews at www.mastermindagent.com.